So, Father, I know that you have already changed the direction of this message, Lord, from what I thought were good ideas into what I believe you were telling me at the time that I wrote it. So I do pray, Lord, that you would use this to glorify yourself, Lord, and to teach people the truths of the past, the present, and the future. So, Lord, I give it to you and ask you to use it to speak through me, I pray, that people would hear your voice and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today's message is entitled, Who is Your Father? Who is your Father? 29th of October, 2023. You can start with a reading from John 8, 31 to 44. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, and yet you're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in my Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things that your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. So, just because you might be able to trace your lineage back to Abraham, does not mean that you are a child of the promise God gave to Abraham. This is the promise that God gave to Abram, as he was known then, Abram. From Genesis 15, 3 to 6, Abraham said to God, You have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram, as he was then, believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now Abram and Sarai, as she was known then, were given a promise from God that did not appear to be coming to fruition. Sarah remained without a child until she was almost beyond natural childbearing age. And so, as you know, she persuaded her husband to get a son another way. Enter stage left, Hagar, their servant girl. Not of the same faith as her master, probably still possibly worshipping the gods of her Egyptian homeland, and certainly dependent on her masters, Abram and Sarai, for her and her child's existence. Dependent. The situation was now more complicated because Hagar was an Egyptian servant with a child, and that child's natural father was a Hebrew master. Not so much her husband, really. And this is how that happened. Let's just look at Genesis 16:1-6. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. And then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." And then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, and so she fled from her. What did she say? Sarai? "Perhaps I can build a family through her." If you think, whoever you are listening, that you can build a family without God's help and guidance, stop now. Especially if he's told you one thing and you are tempted to do another. It never ever pays to try and alter God's word. And you're probably thinking this as well. It takes me straight back to the Garden of Eden, this conversation. Genesis 3:6, just as a reminder, when the woman, Eve, saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And then she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Pretty straightforward, that. But Adam had heard directly from God that they were not to do what Eve had just done, and was subsequently reluctant to take any responsibility in his role as a leader, And neither of them were willing to own up to God for what they had done, and they didn't even think about seeking forgiveness. It's not in the Bible. That's where it all went wrong. And then, of course, we get the blame game. Adam blames God for giving him a wife. Eve blames Satan, and Satan stands back and laughs. God takes corrective action and shows them the consequences of not believing and trusting him alone. Enter, stage right, the consequences of disobedience and sin. After cursing Satan, God goes on to explain the oncoming pain and trouble for Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:16-19, this is what happens. To the woman, Eve, he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Sounds bleak. And from that point, from that point, begins everything that is wrong with the world today. And yet, there is still right and wrong, good and evil. But the trouble is that not everyone agrees which is which. And there is this propensity to blame the other guy, the other girl, the other country, the other religion, the other army. We just have to do it, don't we? We just have to blame somebody else. This could have been so much easier, couldn't it? If we'd have believed and trusted God in the beginning and recognized who the serpent actually was, that he is that father of lies. The father of lies. Now, I just want to focus on the two sons of Abram for a minute. His first son, who you might think would have more rights than a second or third son, because that was the way the Jews thought, that the first son gets a double share and all that kind of thing. But Abram's first son was not the son that God promised him. Think about that. Abram's first son was not the son that God promised him. In fact, he was anything but what God promised him. You remember that Sarai mistreated her servant Hagar because she was pregnant with a son from her husband Abram. Yet Sarai was still waiting on the Lord in frustration. This led to animosity and division. Far from the start of the family that Sarai was hopefully planning for herself. To the point where Abram, probably in frustration, but also standing down again from his leadership role, hands the executive decision on what to do with Hagar back to his wife. And the result? The result? Separation. Pain. Hurt. Adam and Eve lookalikes. Disappointment. Distress. quite possibly hatred. Hagar runs away, sent away. If you don't need a slave, you're fired. Take the baby with you. But that's his baby. She has no idea what she is doing, Hagar, or where she's going to go. Think about it. Single parent, slave, ejected, rejected. Remember that she was formerly a maidservant from Egypt. Long way from Egypt now. Single mother, no future, no profession, no income. Just a baby with a mouth at one end and a problem at the other. And yet, even though Hagar wasn't inquiring of God for direction or help, God begins inquiring of her. Now, isn't that interesting? Genesis 16:7-13. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. And then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael." Ishmael means "God hears." "For the Lord has heard of your misery. Your son, he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen, or at least seen the back of, the one who sees me." Very poignant message that, isn't it? It's common, even today, in modern society, that kind of thing. I believe this is a problem that exists right up to today. It is commonly accepted that Ishmael is the source of Islam. Ishmael was clearly the first son of Abram, according to the Bible, but not the first son of Sarai, his wife, and therefore not the son of God's promise. Now, Muslims recognize Ishmael as the ancestor of several northern Arab tribes, and also as the forefather of Adnan, the ancestor of Muhammad, the prophet, their final prophet, who they say supersedes Jesus Christ, the prophet to end all prophets, Muhammad, they think, they believe. So, all those things being added up together, thinking of the situation in Israel, a two-state solution will never heal that problem. It cannot. It cannot. Especially if the character of the people is still like the hateful wild donkey picture that God paints for Ishmael. So did you notice that the Bible says that the descendants of Ishmael will live in hostility towards all his brothers? All of them. All his brothers. That clearly, doesn't it, include the descendants of Isaac? Isaac was his brother, the son of the promise, which eventually led to the birth of Jesus from the tribe of Judah. That's what came from Isaac. So, no matter what modern Israel do now, today, next week, this year, whatever, they cannot heal this painful and momentous disaster. The best that they are trying to do now is to eradicate the evil which has been allowed to grow adjacent to where they live. In the land that was given to Abram and his descendants, God, in accordance with his promise, has called Israel back from all parts of the world, in accordance with Scripture, and that has caused a massive headache to those who don't believe it is God's plan in action to settle the Jews in their own land. It causes a massive problem, because if you can't see it from a biblical perspective, it looks like they're just taking over because they can. Illegal occupation of the land. This is a very emotive subject, and most people have a strong opinion about the Jews and what is called Palestine today. I don't want to get political during a sermon, but I am able to quote scripture. Let's go back to Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth, get this, all people on earth will be blessed through you. Why would you want to get rid of them? God promises that all people will be blessed through them. Now, you cannot change where you were born, which country you were born in, which religion your mum and dad had. You can't change who your mum and dad were, are, and who your brothers and sisters are. But you can start afresh. You can start afresh. And let's look at John the Baptist encountering Jesus. John the Baptist in Matthew 3, 8 to 17. John says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. Where did you hear that before? I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with or in water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I am, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, Heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Did you see that? I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. How can God raise up children for Abraham? Are you a son or daughter of Abraham this morning? Do you know? You probably have no natural means of answering that question. How would anybody know? By faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Catholic, you're Protestant, you're a Jew, you're a Gentile, you're an Arab, you're a Muslim, or whatever you were born into in this natural world. From here, Jesus can change all the links to the past. And he can link you directly to his Father in heaven. And you can be adopted. You can be adopted by God the Father with all the same rights and privileges of a son or daughter of God. There's only one problem with this. The one problem to this is you must be born again. Born again into the family of God. And that means that you drop any ideas of entitlement. Entitlement to wealth or health or property or power or influence. You need to drop all those things. Your family name, the significance of it or the lack of. You need to be able to forfeit any rights to a promised land on earth. Look straight to God and be willing to confess your sins and abandon your false gods, whether you're Egyptian or otherwise. Whatever they are, whoever you are, Jesus was sacrificed by his Father in your place. In the same way that Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac. In the same way. But God actually, in reality, sacrificed his only begotten Son as payment for all our sins and failures and in exchange for our forgiveness. The divine exchange. We get Christ's righteousness through God's sacrificial giving. They say, don't they, that it's a wise man who knows who his father is. But it's a very wise person who knows it's God. It's a very wise person who has given his life to God and is trusting Jesus for salvation. Remember back what we said in John 8. Jesus said it. He said this. "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here." And by his Holy Spirit, he's still here, and he will come again. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are willing to adopt anybody who turns to you, Lord, in faith and forgiveness. Lord, help us to acknowledge that we're no better than anybody else, that our religion counts for nothing. Lord, you call us to believe, to repent, and be baptized, and to live out our new faith in fear and trembling, not that we have to earn anything, Lord, but rather just live it out. And let the light shine through us, we pray. Amen.